Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read an every trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
And we're the Sinister Six.
Yeah. Sinister two.
The Sinister...
Sinister Sons.
The Sinister Sons.
Yeah.
That surely hasn't been done before.
The Secular Sinister...
No, Sinister Sons is taken by DC, we can't do that.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Is there like an S word that means two? Secular, right?
Secular?
That means two, doesn't it?
No, that just sounds like a cool adjective that I would try and use out of context.
Word of the day.
Word secular. Of the day.
Try and use it in a sentence in regular conversation.
Try and use it when you're talking about this comic book. Secular. Not connected to religion or spiritual things.
Oh, separate maybe? Is like the root.
I learned the word antediluvian. You ever hear that shit?
All the time.
It means it's old enough to be before Noah's Ark.
Antediluvian?
Yeah.
That isn't Noah's Ark fake?
Yeah, but like in...
When was that?
I don't know.
Like, is there a time?
Long time ago.
Okay. All right.
I just thought that was interesting that there's a word
for
it.
Where'd you learn that word?
I heard it online.
You heard it online?
Listen to a podcast or a YouTube video, perhaps.
About what?
Just, I think they're just gaming. And he was flexing that he knew that word. And I'm like, that's a crazy word.
Oh my goodness. That would be the type of shit that I'd get in like a beginner round spelling bee. You know?
Belonging to the time before the biblical flood of Noah.
Hmm. Anyway, other than grammar,
we learn words here.
We have time codes in our description. For our different segments, we got Back Matter Matters, we got the poll list, we got the book,
we got Learn New Words,
which is Superior Foes of Spider-Man, but we start with the news. You got any news, Nathan?
I got some news.
What do you got?
Hellboy in Hell, this December, Parade of Horrors.
Yeah.
Is going to be coming. Looks pretty cool. Makes sense he'd be in Hell.
There's already been a Hellboy.
Yeah, I know. That's probably good.
Have
we read any Hellboy?
Yeah. Hellboy in Love.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The Crooked Man.
We did try The Crooked Man. We should do more. It feels like we haven't gotten to the guts of it.
Definitely. Yeah. That we got a new X-Men book called Exorcists. Exorcists.
That hasn't been done yet?
No.
Whoa.
But it's being done now, and it's awesome.
Is it because Jean Grey's hopping into people's minds now?
No. It's like a team. Magic's like the leader of the team.
Okay,
seems
cool.
Right.
Yep.
I like saw that news, and then I went to type it, and then I had like four or five different spellings on how they did it, and none of them were correct.
Oh, like you heard of it, and then you were like trying to guess?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't like... I read it, and I knew what I was seeing, but like, I didn't think about how it was spelled. So when I went to type it out, my autocorrect was like, nope. And then also like, I was also spelling it wrong. So how would you spell Exorcist?
It's got to start with just X, capital.
Right. X, dash.
I don't know how to spell Exorcist.
That's also a hard word.
X-O-R-C-I-S-T-S.
I'm so pissed you got it first try.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I was like, X-C-E-R.
Did you put a C after? Oh, that's...
X-er, you know...
That's rookie moves, dude.
Totally. I'm not X-head, dude. This isn't for me.
Yeah. It's only for, like, excellence.
Exactly. You know? Coming November 18th by Ashley Allen and Jermaine Peralta, or Herman, probably.
Cool. There's going to be some omnibuy that were announced by DC. There's going to be a big Jonah Hex one, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
By Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray.
Yeah, that was before the All-Star Western one.
Yep.
That came out.
And then there's going to be Elseworld Superman, an Amethyst Princess of Gemworld, Birds of Prey, and a Suicide Squad by John Ostrander. And Batman Legends of the Dark Knight.
There's got to be one by John Ostrander.
You think so, right?
I feel like I've seen it.
I feel like I have too, but I maybe not.
Who's the Birds of Prey one? Is that Gail Simone?
That one is Kelly Thompson Omnibus.
Is that the one that's like just coming out right now?
It must be popular.
How many fucking, I don't know. The definition of omnibus is so loose as far as like how many can go in there, you know?
Yeah.
To the point where there could be multiple omnibus when maybe you could put two of those together.
And at what point is it omnibus? Is it just like if it has like three volumes?
I think it's got to be like...
Because like if it's 12 issues, yeah, it's not an omnibus. But 18 maybe.
That's like a deluxe hardcover, you know?
Yeah.
Omnibus, maybe like four.
Four volumes?
Yeah. I mean, if it's like five to six. Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, roughly like 20-ish.
Because it's like, here's 20 books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be like, that's a lot. Yeah. I feel like it has to make me think like, oh, that's a lot of comic.
Yeah, it's got to take a minute to get through for sure.
Like, I look at that ROM one and I'm like, seems like, that's not like the thickest omnibus, but that's still a lot of comics because it's old.
It's still like 29 issues, I think.
Yeah.
Or 27, something like that.
It's a lot of comic.
It's called the Romnibus, Nathan.
Yeah, true.
That's exciting. I love omnibus news. Nathan, the biggest crossover ever, maybe.
Yeah.
Star Wars in Marvel. Hope Assembles. Coming January 27th. 5-issue mini.
I saw this and I felt nothing.
I saw this and I'm like, that's fake. Because I saw it from like not a source that I look at, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird.
I saw it and I thought it was a collection of like t-shirts or something.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like, dude. The branding, like, that's all.
This isn't
going to
be good.
No. It can't be. Well, Kevin Smith's going to write it.
So that's
awful choice.
Nail in the coffin, dude. Yeah.
But David Marquez, that's pretty good.
At least it'll look good.
Yeah. It'll look good.
I think.
I was looking at some of the covers and it's just like, I don't see Wolverine being in, like, interacting with Princess Leia. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it's got to be like the New Hope era or whatever. And then, like,
yeah, does it have to be? I mean,
like, think about, like,
it probably should be.
Yeah, you gotta have Darth Vader in there and shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless it's somehow throughout the times.
Well, Thanos is in the cover.
Mm.
So I don't know. I can't imagine.
These should have just been like variant covers. You know?
No.
For like,
we knew this would happen eventually, though.
Maybe. But, because I think it's what, like the 50th anniversary of Star Wars next year?
77, yeah.
So, like, it could have just been, like, every series gets a, you know, crossover Star Wars cover, you know? And that could have been cooler, potentially.
You think that just having some covers would have been cooler than just, like, the actual series?
Well, less annoying, I guess.
Mm. I think what I would like to see out of this is just not every Marvel character ever.
It's not. It's going to be the important ones, I guess.
Like, but then I don't even know how you'd weave that in.
At this point, my only thing I'm looking for is somewhat coherent story.
Yeah. I want max like 4 or 5 Marvel characters that are mainly
issue.
A part of this, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's just like whoever's like on the covers,
like, because you gotta think, like, they gotta be in space, so it's like, are the Guardians of the Galaxy gonna like fight a TIE fighter or something,
maybe?
And is that something that I want to see? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's like there's already been like millions of like crossover like fan art things,
yeah,
you know? So it's like just that, but official.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I'm a little burnt out on
like
crossovers lately.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many Predator ones and so many Godzilla ones.
So many. There's another one that came out today.
What one?
It was Godzilla Roar of the Worlds.
Oh, yeah. And but those are like, monster piece ones.
I mean,
but
yeah.
And they're just a one shot, you know? But anyway.
Yeah, been a lot of crossovers, so it's a little tiring sometimes.
And then why are we learning about this 5 months in advance?
Yeah, because it's going to come out January 2027.
I already forgot about it. Any other news from you?
Nope.
Some news I want to just like touch on lightly. Image Comics has got a new trade paperback that'll be coming out. It's called Ghost Drive Station. coming out in November.
Okay.
Written by Warren Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Art by, I think my autocorrect got me, but.
Just say it.
Lourdes Foudry.
Oh,
I don't know if the name is actually correct there, but that's interesting.
Yeah, he's back.
I guess so.
I think I saw there's a statement that was like, Image Comics won't work with Warren Ellis for like ever.
Yeah, but here we are.
Yeah, 5 years after the publisher publicly said it would not work with the writer until he had made amends to the satisfaction of all involved. And I guess nothing's been happening, so.
Yeah.
Lourdes Foudry.
Okay.
A Grammy-nominated artist?
Grammy?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Maybe.
We haven't seen that before.
Maybe there's like a Grammy for like cover art.
It must be. Yeah, because Greg Capullo did that Korn one.
I don't think he got a Grammy for it.
That would be cool, though.
He got the Eisner. He's got the Grammy. Just a different kind of EGOT, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't buy that book, probably.
And yeah, I'm not super interested in it. It's just interesting that he's back.
Only steal Warren Ellis books, you know?
That's the only ethical way to...
Yeah, you can pirate those.
That's the only ethical way to just check it out. You know, see what a Grammy-nominated artist is doing, I guess.
Right. But what book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read The Superior Foes of Spider-Man by recommendation of one of our listeners who listened to our Superior Spider-Man and said that the Sinister Six that was in that book had a book of their own by Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber. And that's what we read.
What did you think about this?
I think it's my most enjoyable Nick Spencer.
Correct.
Because I don't typically like him that much.
Right. But I've never seen him write like comedy necessarily.
He's on Spider-Man.
Like, this is not really an action book.
No, not at all.
Spider-Man like is.
Yeah, that's true.
So this, he like is able to lean into that more.
Yeah, I agree. And I think
it kind of feels like a Matt Fraction, Chip Zdarsky like impression. Almost like kind of the timing on some of these things.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe this is off the back of like, you know, whatever was coming out at the time. I guess maybe a Hawkeye or like a.
Yeah, I don't even know when this was out.
Sex Criminals or whatever.
I think this book got collected in 2026.
Maybe the one that we're reading.
Yeah, the one that we were reading. I think it has. But yeah, I don't remember when the series itself was coming out. I assume alongside Superior Spider-Man, or at least delayed.
2013.
A little bit. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So,
but I love Steve Lieber. I think he's great in this. I think he does good with just like some C or D list characters.
Totally.
Because
I'm in.
I really enjoyed One Star Squadron.
Definitely.
Steve Lieber's on that. It's kind of a similar thing, except they're like kind of C or D list heroes. But I also really love Mark Russell. So that's why I enjoyed that book a lot. I think there's some good stuff in here, but I think it is dense for the six issues that we read.
Yeah.
And I think I like that it kind of focuses on one of the characters rather than like the group necessarily.
Yeah, I think that works.
And I think that part works. And I kind of like
guess
I like the general idea of it, but I think some of it, there's parts of this where an issue will focus on something totally unrelated for like six pages and then it won't come up again.
Like what?
Like there was a time when Boomerang goes to like a villain's like AA meeting, pretty much like a villain's like meetup, and they have to talk about it. And some dude went through his whole origin and about how his girlfriend was saved from Fing Fang Foom by an Iron Man. And then that woman like left the dude and then he became a villain. And that was like four or five pages. And I don't even know the dude's name because he doesn't come up. He's not even in his villain form. He's like talking about that story.
I wonder if like all that is like true.
It's probably all true. And I appreciate that it probably is because. And if it's not, that's also a really funny origin to like have your girlfriend saved by Fing Fang Foom and then you get like essentially cucked by Iron Man.
Well, saved by Iron Man.
Saved by Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah, a little dialogue heavy. Not quite as much action as I was kind of like hoping for, I guess.
The action in this is good.
The action is good, but like it's not quite the balance.
Yeah.
That I think would work for this.
Mm-hmm.
So the character Overdrive. is in this, but he doesn't have his big wheel.
Doesn't drive. He just has a helmet.
And he can like...
Like a biker helmet? Or does he...
He has like a little toy helicopter that he turns into big helicopter.
Yeah.
I think.
I've got no idea. He's the only one of the five people of the Sinister Six team just that can't. I don't understand like what he does.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe he can like pin particle some machines or something.
Vehicles. Things you could drive.
Yeah. Things you could drive. He can control those. But yeah. I think I enjoyed a lot of the jokes, or a couple of the jokes in here per issue.
I think it's pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I think a comedy book would do better being collected in like a 5-issue trade.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, lighten up on the density. I don't remember him being necessarily that dense in Spider-Man.
No.
In your stuff that you've read from him, was it that dense or not really?
Spider-Man, I don't remember. Boomerang's in that book too, now I think about it.
Yeah, he was like his roommate.
Yeah, that's weird because he seems pretty old in this, so just timeline's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read that, and I read his Captain America for a little bit, and I don't remember liking that a whole lot. And then I think he did an Avengers like event book.
Secret Empire?
Must have been that one, huh?
I think so.
I think there's a different one too that I'm thinking of.
Maybe.
I just remember it was like yellow. The branding was yellow.
Avengers. Not disassembled.
Not but disassembled, like, but something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, I didn't like that one too much. Secret Empire is fine, actually.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So, issue one, we get an origin for the Boomerang and the start of the new Sinister Six, which consists of five members total. It's Boomerang, Beetle, Speed Demon, Shocker, Overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost Brainstorm or whatever his name was in the Superior Spider-Man book, because they used to be six, but then they lost Mind Robot or whatever his name is. Do you remember who that is?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's why they're five right now. But Boomerang ends up in jail, so he convinces Shocker and Speed Demon to feed his birds, and which they do by robbing a pet store and getting the food. But at Boomerang's house, the mob boss Hammerhead is there, and he beats up Shocker for not having the rest of his like payment from Boomerang. And so Hammerhead was actually Chameleon in disguise as Hammerhead, working with Boomerang to convince the Sinister Six to bail Boomerang out of prison so that Boomerang can pay off his debt to Chameleon. But we get some origin for Boomerang, and he used to be a baseball player, I guess. I didn't know that. Like,
yeah.
MLB like player.
Right.
And that's interesting. I didn't know. I've never thought of anything about him.
About their jobs.
Yeah, about his day to day.
And it's very villain like to, was you know, to throw a game for money. You know? Money.
Was he in Brand New Day for like a second?
Was Yeah.
Okay. It was one of those ones where they were like reenacting.
It's like a flash of it.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's like a character that I've seen in the comics, and then it's just on the screen like that, like, and it's like a very small character, you know.
Yeah,
but like I'd recognize like someone like that.
Mm-hmm. I like this Boomerang redesign though, like just this character or like this costume design.
I don't like the eyepiece. It's like
I kind of like the eyepiece. That's what I do like about it.
It just isn't like, I know nothing needs to make sense, but this like definitely doesn't make sense
because it looks like he has an M on his face.
No, not even that. He doesn't look like you can see. And it's kind of like borderline like vigilante, and then he's only working with like what, like four boomerangs or something?
Well, those are just big ones on his back. He's probably got more in his boomerang pouches.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just kind of neutral on it.
Yeah.
So there's only five in the Sinister Six.
Mm-hmm.
Might I recommend Sinister Cinco?
Sinister Cinco would be good.
I think that could work. Not SS, but...
A little bit of representation.
Yeah. Because Beetle is like kind of brown.
Yeah.
She might be Mexican.
Yeah. And so does Shocker.
Oh, yeah.
Shocker's like... He almost seems like... I mean, I don't want to profile. Like
Puerto Rican or something?
Yeah, Puerto Rican or like Muslim or something. I don't really know.
Right.
Steve Lieber is a treasure in this. He's got some... He's like a big reason I think a lot of some of these comedic moments land.
Totally.
Because there's a part where they are like robbing the pet store and they take all of the like cash register like money, and then the Shocker's like, yeah, all of your money and this specific brand of bird food. And he's like, and he's in his like little detective like raincoat and like fedora. And I think that's so funny to me because he's in a costume already, but then he's got the fedora and raincoat on over
that. They like weren't planning on being outed, I guess, or yeah, like as villains.
And it's just like, I think that scene's pretty funny. And then they take a little girl's dog, which is kind of fucked up. But I guess they are villains. So like a little girl just got her dog.
Yeah.
And then they happen to walk into the pet store and he's like, and I'm taking the dog.
They ask for that specific pet food. And then like the dude's like, you know, it's like a hold up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got it in the back. He's like, yeah, you do.
Yeah. He's like pointing at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go get it.
So I was a little confused by why Boomerang had Chameleon be Tombstone in his apartment.
Hammerhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what was the point of that?
So Chameleon's in jail, but I guess he can leave sometimes because Boomerang talks to him in jail a little bit. And so I think he had him go to his apartment to meet Shocker and Speed Demon there and then convince them that he has like a big score that he has to settle with Hammerhead.
Uh-huh.
But really, he actually just owes Chameleon money. And so they got a...
Because he had him do that.
Yeah.
So why couldn't he just say he owed Chameleon money in jail or something, you know?
Good point. I don't know. Maybe because Hammerhead's got like a lot of...
So they climb up the stairs to his apartment.
Yeah.
And he's like, where is the key? He's like, you have the key. He's like, I don't have the key.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, so Speed Demon like ran back to get the key in traffic or whatever. And that's a big deal. And he came back. He's like, oh, and then Shocker just walks in. He's like, oh, door's unlocked.
It's so funny. And then Hammerhead's in there and he's like, I just took a big shit in there. And I'm not going to flush. And I was like, that's some evil
so
shit.
So rude. Leave the door open.
Yeah.
They, who is it? I think Overdrive and Beetle like rob a comic shop
to get bail money.
Yeah. They're like, give me that. And then like the shop owner's like, do you want bags and boards? And that's like such a comic shop thing to say.
That is pretty funny. Or like Beetle's robbing them. She's like, which ones are valuable?
Yeah.
Which is funny. She doesn't even know what she's robbing.
Like if you went into like Ash, I don't think there's like that much of a score in there if you were like trying to like get big bucks off of like singles.
Maybe like a grand.
Yeah, and it's if you're like
easily,
if you're like
liquid,
firm on prices when you're trying to like resell them or whatever.
Yeah, on the comics black market, I guess. Which would just probably just be Whatnot or something,
but like eBay kind of thing.
Yeah,
like I don't think I've seen anything up there where I'm like that's whoa expensive. I'm more
did you
like,
know he's a Jeff Darrow like original
yeah
drawing? I didn't know that. He told me that today.
He looked like he just took a picture with him at this past Comic-Con, but I know that he got like an original.
He's like homies with him.
I think Jeff Darrow did like their logo or something.
No, he did a drawing of their logo.
Right.
Because, yeah, he said that and I thought the same thing. I'm like, and I pointed at him, I'm like, that's Jeff Darrow?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's like the one above it. But yeah, I think most comic shops, if you rob it, like, even like the stuff you could just walk out with, it'd be really hard to resell that. So you'd have to be doing like Midtown Comics.
I'd bring
or something.
A dolly and yeah, take some omnibuses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's honestly probably easier to make some money off of.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where Boomerang's talking to a Chameleon and he like flips him off, but it's censored with like the Comics Code Authority.
Yeah.
Symbol. I like that.
There was like some sort of captions, like he's just kind of narrating, you know, himself. They're like getting drinks or whatever. And he says, so the question was, how do I get out of bed in the morning? Well, your wife doesn't make it easy. I'll say that much. Hey-oh.
His head.
It's so stupid.
And what makes that funny to me is like in the panel, he's like this. He's got like his hands crossed behind his head. Yeah. And he's like, he knows he just fucking...
I need to like...
He nailed
say
that.
Hey-o more often.
Hey-o. It is funny to say hey-o to your own joke.
Yeah, to like add a punchline to your punchline.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool seeing. I feel like I've seen Steve Lieber where it doesn't quite look Steve Lieber, like old stuff. You know, this, you know, it's like him. And then you can also tell from One Star Squadron that he's like gotten better.
Oh, so good.
He's just kind of really dialed in. I think maybe it's just the inks that have gotten more refined or something Yeah.
Yeah. Cause some of these are kind of, I guess, loose when there's a lot of shading on like somebody's face.
It's almost weird when there's like other covers like by someone else.
Yeah.
Like do Steve Lieber covers.
Yeah, he's awesome at covers.
So good.
Like the first one is so good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The one of the actual trade itself. But I think he's also it's very clear that the acting on people's faces he's just always been good at.
Yeah, that's like huge for this.
It is.
Especially with something like that's like so dialogue heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have like the facial expressions done really well.
Mm-hmm.
And his stuff is like so proportionate that he's like really got to like do these different faces like really well.
Mm-hmm. So then issue 2, Boomerang's trying to balance being a leader of the Sinister Six while also trying to appear like he's staying out of trouble, like legally while he's out on bail. But he has the Sinister Six rob a restaurant so that they can get some free food. But the Punisher ambushes them, and everybody in the Sinister Six escapes, except for Boomerang. And it's revealed that the Punisher is actually just the Chameleon again, who's demanding that Boomerang now bring him the head of Silvio Silvermane. And we don't know much about him yet. We will. And then Boomerang is placed on parole under the surveillance of the hero Mach 7, who used to be the original Beetle. And so that's tough now too. And so I think what really works in this is that these villains would have just like these random debts to different mob people.
Yeah.
And I think it's fun to see a guy like Boomerang, who's like overly confident and kind of douchey, try to like, I guess, use his words to get out of situations or be like he like lies to people constantly. And he's like, we got a big job.
He keeps digging the hole deeper.
Yeah. And that's what I enjoy seeing is him like digging himself into the hole. Like a lot deeper.
It like this book makes being a villain seem so shitty.
It does.
I'm like, wow,
fucking. He's like, oh, he always just owes money, and he's got to figure out what job to do.
Yeah, this is a. It's almost like propaganda to like not be a villain.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm like, yeah, this would suck.
There's a splash page at the beginning of this. It's of the Punisher.
Amazing.
But, yeah, super good. But the Punisher like logo doesn't have like a nose. And I'm like, why doesn't it have a nose?
It is a little goofy looking, huh?
And so, and then it almost like makes sense later when the Punisher in this is the Chameleon. I'm like, oh, he didn't have it down. Or like,
yeah, maybe he just messed it up.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I kind of called it in a way.
You didn't. But it's probably, when the Chameleon shapeshifts, does he have to like get clothes?
I imagine he can shapeshift the clothes.
I don't know. I actually don't know. I think he's only good at doing the body parts.
Are you saying he buys all of his clothes every time he shapeshifts?
I think he bought these two guns.
Yeah.
And he had to get all these like clothes. So maybe he's got a pretty big wardrobe so that he can pull that off.
He does change back and has the Punisher clothes on still.
Yeah.
And then when we see him in the Kraven movie, he'll turn into Kraven. He'll still be short
Kraven
and wearing a suit.
Yeah. Yeah. But I imagine it's not clothes, but Mystique can do like the clothes.
Yeah.
That's like part of her thing. I wonder if Morph can do the clothes too. The X-Men.
Yeah, because he can do like powers kind of like their powers is just having wings, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's weird for this book because like it's a comedy book, but you still have to kind of structure it to where there's cliffhangers at the end of each issue. And it's just funny that like the original Beetle is like the cliffhanger for this one. I'm like, who?
Yeah, I'm like, who is that? Why is his name Mach 7?
It looks like his suit is like an old, like, almost like Boomerang costume in
a way. It does kind of seem like that. I like the scene where they rob a restaurant, but they're still getting like waited. Like it's them at a sit-down restaurant, and like Speed Demon sends food back for being overcooked or whatever. And he's like, someone's not gonna tip, but they're like robbing them.
But they're also like making a deal with the restaurant like across the way.
Yeah.
To like rob this place so that the other place gets more business. Yeah, in a way. Business. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really funny to like have someone be essentially a hostage and be like, that guy's not going to get a tip.
Yeah.
That's a funny line.
Yeah, because you can't always have like the big score, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're just getting out of jail, you got to have like a little thing.
You got some quick little jobs, you know? Spider-Man's not saving all of New York.
And with like how expensive like these kind of places are, where it's like $200 like a meal or whatever. Mm-hmm. It seems to make sense.
Yeah.
But like robbing businesses in this day and age seems just odd with like how many like card transactions there are.
Yeah, I mean even most banks, I don't think you'd get more than like a couple grand.
Yeah. And like
I don't think they have like a big vault anymore.
I think they have a vault, but like
it's not that much. It'll be like assets, like a necklace.
Yeah. More modern heist movies, it'll be just like whatever's in the drawers, like the loose bills, like not the bandit or not the rubber banded ones.
No one's got a big bag that has a money sign on it anymore. Bring those back.
Yeah, just make it even more obvious that you're going to rob the place.
Also, if you're going to rob a place, I hope that they wouldn't do a mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
Because that could bankrupt them, you know? At least do a place that has an insurance policy on that kind of shit.
Right. I mean, I guess every business has some sort of theft clause in like their business insurance, but
you'd like, want
to
do
that shit takes like a while to like pay out, because you gotta have like, I used to do like business insurance, mm-hmm. so I'm like, I know like,
and if you like broke a window and stuff,
have like a fucking police report and stuff, and mm-hmm. then
wait for list that out to all go the through.
Shit that was stolen. Yeah.
I like that Boomerang twists the situation to make it seem like he's really cool for surviving like a Punisher like appearance, pretty much.
Yeah, which would be like, no way.
Yeah, because he had the Chameleon like beat him up a little bit, so it looked like he was hurt.
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, I escaped. I got lucky. He's gun jammed. And then I was able to make my escape. So it's just kind of fun. It's kind of like Better Call Saul a little bit, where he's like in this bad situation. He has to like lie his way out of it.
Yeah.
But there's like a part in here where Shocker was actually there and he witnessed it happen, but Boomerang doesn't know that he saw him, so Shocker knows that he's lying. So there's a bit of drama.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see Steve Lieber in a Punisher book. I think it'd be cool. Because it's just like this first page, I think I like the way that he does the gun shooting.
I feel like he'd only really do like a villain issue or something. Like
Maybe a one-shot or something, but...
Yeah. But I feel like you kind of have to be known as kind of like a... Like a grimy kind of,
but look at the guns, dude.
It does look good.
It's good. I think he could do it. What's he on right now? Is he doing anything?
Not that I know of.
Mm. So then issue 3, we get the significance of Silvio Silvermane, who is explained as a crime. Like his story is a crime underworld myth almost.
He's doing an Ignition Press book called Showdown.
Really?
With
who? Is he writing and drawing?
Oh, wait, no, that was a cover. So
I feel like it's something that I'm aware of.
Oh, he's doing Batman Bad Seeds, Streets of Gotham, written by Matt Fraction and Mariko Tamaki.
Is that coming out right now or is it about to come out?
Comes out in October.
Okay. That's cool. So we get the story of Silvio Silvermane, which is like a crime underworld myth of Silvio's cyborg head being disconnected from his body. And the theory is that his head either was found by the crime boss, the Owl, to like torture for forever in his like headquarters, or the head was found by a young boy who put his head on like an RC car, and then Silvio became friends with the kid and his mom. And so now Boomerang's tasked with getting this guy's head to give to Chameleon. But Boomerang can't even do anything about finding it because he's been kicked out of the Sinister Six for having Mach 7 like as his probation officer tailing him all the time. So Boomerang rats out the remaining Sinister Six to the Heroes for Hire.
The Silvermane dude, he was like the leader of the Magia.
The Magia.
Which is always fun.
Yeah, I was wondering the significance of this dude in particular, but I guess, yeah, he's just the leader of that. I always thought the Magia was just, in general, crime.
It's like a specific crime family, I think.
Yeah. But like in this issue, it's a lot of dense background on two different theories on what would have happened in his head. And one of them is like not even real. So a lot of them just like, ugh.
So like this kid that found the head was like put under his bed for a mm-hmm. second. And so he's tried to like escape, you know, he's also tried killing the kid.
Yeah.
By like, crazy. Having a knife in his mouth and jumping off a couch. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. That's good. And then, what else was I going to say? Oh, I love to see a good Iron Fist appearance.
Yeah.
That was unexpected. I like that. Yours prior. Oh, and then this is the issue where we get whatever this dude's name is. And it's like 5 or 6 pages of his origin. And I don't even know his name. But we do see an anthropomorphic like hippo man. And I do like seeing him. He's cool.
Yeah. There's a madman. Or Mad Men release reference, like the show. Because they vote out Boomerang mm-hmm. as like the leader or just like from the team.
Yeah.
He's like, they did this to Don Draper. And like Overdrive's like, spoilers. I don't even remember that happening, honestly, but.
Yeah. I don't like Iron Fist in a suit. For some reason, that was what they decided to put Iron Fist in.
That's just what he was wearing at the time, I guess.
He was just doing some business stuff, and he's like, I gotta go do this now. But in issue 4, the Sinister Four is beat up and arrested by Power Man and Iron Fist. Meanwhile, Boomerang meets a bartender, and he gets like a date set up with them. And then Boomerang manages to break the Sinister Six out of a police van, and he's like, you guys working for me now. So he claims leadership. And then he tells the gang that they're going to go for Silvio Silvermane's head like the next day. But later, the Shocker tells Boomerang that he saw the Chameleon acting as Punisher. So Boomerang comes up with an excuse and later locks Shocker in the trunk of a car and drives it off a bridge. Which is pretty like, I was actually kind of surprised by that. I was like, oh, that's
because like he's talked up because he like confronted him about it.
Yeah.
And he's like kind of talking it through. He's like, don't tell anybody, you know.
Yeah, he's like, I just wanted to
this
like,
is gonna go fine.
Yeah, I wanted
to be able to think killing him anyway.
Yeah, he does. It's really fucked up.
So what?
Because it seemed like they were cool about it, but at like the end. He
right.
was like, you know, why don't you come with me? We'll go. Yeah. And then he locks him up.
So Boomerang goes to visit Chameleon in jail. And
mm-hmm.
Chameleon's like, I want the head or whatever in like 24 hours. He's like, all right, 24 hours starting this time next week.
That scene in particular, I think, is really good Steve Lieber stuff. Because he's trying to like be like a sweet guy and like talk his way out of it. And I love just a lot of the facial expressions in this.
And then like when he leaves, he's like, says real loud. He's like, I'll wait for you, honey pie. Yeah.
And like those faces, I think, are awesome too. And so I think that blend works. Don't worry, I'll wait for you.
So good. I found a lettering mistake.
Like what?
On page like 86.
Mm-hmm.
When he invites her to a baseball game for the team that he used to play for.
Yeah.
It was like the Mets, right? And the bartender's like, do they even let you go to the games?
Oh, go to games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a mistake.
Dang, who's that editor, man?
Fire him.
Probably has
I
been
saw
fired.
In the back matter, though, that they couldn't get the rights for the Mets, and so he played for the New York Mets.
Yeah.
So, and you see like his jersey in like a later issue because you don't see it in like his baseball origin, but I just like that detail.
You know, there was, I thought I saw, I don't know if it was this book or some other book I was reading, but there was like music playing in like a bar or something. And it was like a well known song. And you have to like pay for the rights just to have like the lyrics in a book.
But how many lyric? Can you get away with?
I don't think there's any you can get away with, really.
So if he's walking into this bar and the lettering of just the bar music is we're halfway there, is that illegal?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
They gotta pay for those like four words.
Pay Bon Jovi for we're halfway there.
Yeah.
don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
There should be like a 10-word limit for comics.
Yeah, kind of like copyright.
Yeah. So then issue 5, the Sinister Six rob the Owl's place, but they don't find Silvio Silvermane's head. But they do. Boomerang ends up finding a famous painting of Dr. Doom without his mask on, which is like super valuable. So he takes that instead. Meanwhile, the Shocker is saved by a local junkyard, which happens to be the same one that Silvio Silvermane is at. And his head is like mounted on like a little RC car. And as soon as Shocker sees that, he takes off. He takes off with the head. But in the beginning of this issue, there's like 6 pages of just the owl being kind of evil.
Yeah, he's like torturing some dude with like rats.
Yeah.
And then like later he like eats a rat like raw.
Yeah.
Which is pretty gross.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that page is pretty good. But I think you could start here. He's like, he's just a guy eating a rat.
Yeah.
A lot of this is just like, man, you wronged me and now I'm going to torture you with some rats. But it's a lot. There's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading this. I'm like, what are we even doing? Who is this guy?
Yeah. I like didn't clock right away that it was the owl.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just maybe the design is a little bit more.
He just kind of looks like a fat Wolverine.
Ground, yeah, a little more grounded, and he doesn't have like the ridiculous hair to where like you're like, oh, that's the owl, or yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still kind of a ridiculous villain.
We've seen a lot of owl lately.
Yeah. What is it? Daredevil Yellow, and mm-hmm. then you brought up that you saw him in Daredevil.
Yeah, the mainly Daredevil books. And there's a scene where they kind of work through the owl's headquarters, and we see the layout of the building. Or whatever, you know, this building is. I don't know if it's his headquarters, but each room has like something different going on. And I think it's just really silly because one room just has giant scorpions in it.
Yeah.
And are they always there? Or like, what's this room with ninjas in it? Are they just chilling there waiting?
There's a room with like military dudes and guns and they're behind barricades yeah. and they never go into that room.
Yeah.
And so there's not like a clear path that they go to.
Uh-huh.
There was like captions where it's like Boomerang and he's like kind of talking about his team. He's like, they don't scare easy, but mm-hmm. they're in the scorpion room and Speed Demon's like peed.
Or I like this panel where they're fighting the scorpions and Beetle's like, target the mesosoma. And he's like, what part is that? Like, am I supposed to know what that is?
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty funny one.
Like, that's not something you say to villains if you want to like effectively kill.
Yeah.
Did you look it up?
No.
Okay. We'll never know.
We'll never know. I assume it's part of the tail. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe the stinger.
Maybe it's like the ass.
But I think it's fitting that the character called Beetle knows what that is.
That's true.
So.
What is her? She can fly? Is that it?
A fly? It seems like her suit.
It's she just has some a sort suit. Of blast thing in her hand.
But is that her or is that the suit?
The suit, probably.
Yeah. I like the Beetle design.
Yeah, it seems cool.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like a arch nemesis like design, but yeah. You know, one of these C tier villains.
The owl's getaway car is a Prius. I like that.
But it's like, for some reason, it's not like drawn like a Prius. It's just like kind of a normal hatchback car.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, too. That's true. But
they make a point to mention, it's like, oh, you could barely hear the engine.
Love the Prius. Like as they're getting away.
Yeah, it is like unassuming.
That's just a good gag.
So it could be good for, you know, crime boss.
Mm-hmm. Do we not know what Doom's face looks like in any comics? Or because I feel like, I mean, we see him take it off in Secret Wars, but that's the only time I can really think.
When like the newer one, like the Hickman one?
The Hickman one, he takes it off.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Well, he takes it off and he's beautiful because he won.
And like, he's God. Yeah. And
he went through all that to get a beautiful face again.
That's valid.
But no, I guess it's a thing that you don't see his face.
There's got to be some sort of like origin stuff in like Fantastic Four where it's like,
yeah,
pretty bland looking face. But.
But. I can't imagine it looks like anything other than just like hamburger meat or something.
Because like in the movies, you always see like the actor, mm-hmm. you know, and then he gets the mask kind of thing. So.
How do you think they'll handle it in Doomsday?
He's just there already, has the mask already.
And do you think he'll never take it off? Or do you think he'll take it off and he'll have a fucked up face?
I think he'll take it off and it'll be like Robert Downey Jr., you know?
which, with, like, a little bit of scarring.
He'd clearly be from, like, an Elseworlds, you know, universe. And then they just explain that somehow.
I think it'll be...
That whole thing's really
Tony Stark, different universe, does a dimension hop here, but in that process, he fucked up his face. I think that's what it'll be.
Okay.
Anyway.
Issue six.
So we find out the Doom painting was from a night in Latveria when Doom got, like, pretty drunk and he had it made, but he had his face off, and so the painter did that. And the next day, Doom had the painter killed, but he couldn't bring himself to get rid of the painting. And so it's been passed around a lot through different dynasties and whatnot, so that's why it's super valuable. The Sinister Six, except for Boomerang, is tied up by the owl and, like, interrogated to find out what Boomerang plans to do. The gang is freed by Tombstone, who happens to be Beetle's father. And we don't really know that. That's a big surprise. And then Boomerang is knocked out by Chameleon and some of his men. That's pretty much the trade.
Yeah.
So it's obviously, like, a longer series, so cutting off at six is just kind of arbitrary. But
yeah.
But you get, you know, a story there.
So Boomerang's at the meh game with his date.
New York meh.
And she's like, and you're sure you're allowed to be here? And he's like, yeah, why? with the mustache glasses. The
fake mustache glasses and the big eyebrows.
I was reading it panel, and I literally laughed out loud at that.
That's a great way to
read
that.
Really good.
That. Yeah. Panel is really funny.
And he doesn't have any money, and so he, like, snuck in beers.
Yeah.
And they're
in,
like,
his pants.
And they're, like, store brand beers. Which is, like, I'm like, what store has their own brand of beer other than, like, Costco,
yeah,
you know? And I just had that. Really
the funny. Way that he, like, pulls it out, he's like, go down on the chair and pull it out of his beer. Like, and he's like, I got hot dogs in here, too. So, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I like this scene where they're getting interrogated by the owl. Because the owl assumes that the plan was to take the painting and not Sylvia Silverman's head. And the gang is like, oh, Boomerang got away with the head, and now we're being interrogated by the owl because of that. And then there's, like, a small moment where they're like, we're not talking about the same thing, before they get saved by a Hammerhead,
right,
or Tombstone. And I think that's funny.
There's a moment where Boomerang's, like, you know, getting ahead of himself and, you know, planning out the rest of his life with this girl, and there's, like, a picture of, like, them, like, at their baby being born. And why is the baby's head on fire?
I don't know.
It's very strange to me.
It seems like it's a human torch baby.
Yeah, I know. Whose baby is that? So.
That's a funny page, though, because he's still got the fake mustache on.
That seems like something that would be in, like, Sex Criminals or something.
Yeah. I mean, some of this kind of reminds me of Sex Criminals with the Steve Lieber. Like, the way that Steve Lieber's art is.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It does feel kind of
Zdarsky. Some of those, I think some of, like, the faces themselves, I'm like, this feels like a Chip Zdarsky drawn, like, head.
Right. And then he's, like, going to drop her off or whatever. And he, like, asks her, he's like, what did I say I do for a living? You know?
Yeah.
He's like, insurance salesman. He's like, yes, insurance.
Yeah, that's what I got. And he's, like, so desperate. He's like, well, you don't want me to stay? And then... I like the deliberate censorship of Doom's face, like, the different ways that they figured that out. Like, they put the lettering over it in this scene.
Mm.
I think that's fun.
There's like a page of this, of just, like, him telling the story of what this painting has gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the panels is like, oh, it was, like, held in, like, Dr. Doom's, like, storage for, like, a long time or whatever. And there's, like, spider webs all over it. And there's, like, little spiders with, like, smiley faces on them.
Yeah. Why does it get so cute?
Yeah, I mean, because it's kind of like
this painting.
It's kind of like a more cartoony, like,
yeah,
display. I'm like, I don't think you really need to go, like, all out for these panels. Because it's, like, kind of like it's Boomerang's just, like, memories or, like, his mind.
Yeah, and so it's just, like, this campy little story. It seems like almost... How old is Doom? Because it says it goes through, like, different dynasties.
I don't know if he's, like,
is he supposed
to be immortal or something.
But he shouldn't be, right?
He's probably, like, in his 50s, I guess.
Yeah. So that part I don't really understand. But I do like the idea of him getting drunk and then getting a painting made and he just regrets it after. But yeah, that was the book.
And, so the Mach 7 dude, like his like parole officer, who's like also like a ex-villain, the old Beetle.
Yep.
He's like confronting him about a boomerang that like saves his crew from the van.
Yeah.
Because he ratted out the crew, the Sinister Six, to him.
Mm-hmm. And then
he's like, why did this boomerang person save these people? He's like, oh, it must be an imposter or something.
He's like, we gotta go find him.
Yeah. I can't say I'm surprised by my legacy. You know, he's like, there's probably more than even one. There's probably a cyborg. Another's a teenager, maybe a black guy, you know, like the reign of boomerangs.
Oh, that I didn't even catch that.
Oh my goodness, you gotta catch these, oh, David. It's wow. So funny.
That's a good one. Yeah, I've ever seen the reign of Superman.
Yeah.
A black guy. Like you just that's so he just diminishes that all of steel that I'm just like, some black guy is also him. I don't know.
And then that's this funny. Beetle dude tries to like leave out the window, but he's got these big ass like wings on his back.
Yeah. And he just can't do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, forget it.
And I feel like that's not talked about like enough, like characters that probably need to like exit out of a window, but like clearly can't.
It doesn't look like he could even easily go through a door.
I don't know why he was so confident in that. Yeah. Because yeah. These probably don't like.
Collapse.
Like, you retract or anything.
Yeah.
But, anyway, what do you rate this book, Nathan?
I give it...
Or Back Matter...
Oh, yeah, Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. I didn't look at the Back Matter, because we're reading the complete collection,
yeah,
which has all 17 issues.
Mm-hmm. I think it starts on page 359.
So it's...
But we get all the variants, and some of them are, like, I mean, all of them are like really misleading because they have Spider-Man on the cover. There's like a Declan Shalvey one.
Yeah, I think we got like one panel of Spider-Man.
In the beginning?
Yeah, which I like appreciate because I kind of expected Spider-Man to be in and out of this.
Yeah.
Honestly, but I kind of like that it's more focused on them.
I like that they committed to it just being these particular villains.
Yeah.
But so we get the variants. We get hand-drawn thank you cards from Steve Lieber for comic shops that promoted the book, which is pretty cool. So he just draws like Boomerang or Spider-Man or soccer or whatever in different poses.
Ah, so cool.
Yeah. So, you know, Steve Lieber's a real one. And then they did something I really like, which I don't feel like we see at all, but they basically did like an artist commentary, which is essentially a DVD commentary of one of the issues. And so it's just him talking about each page and what he likes about it. And this is where he talks about the New York Mets because he couldn't get the rights to just say Mets on like a jersey.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. But that wasn't, I think this is on issue 17. So I didn't read through all of it just because we didn't read this issue. But he does bring back the gag glasses and stuff. And he's like, I'm happy we were able to do that because I liked that. But I think that this is awesome. I would eat this up if it was like an issue that we read.
Totally.
And I think it should be done more. So points for creativity on that. That's Back Matter.
What do you rate it?
I would rate this.
It kind of felt like a Nacho series. Because I feel like it started like really funny. And then like as it kept going, yeah, it felt like it got denser and I like kind of just cared less about like the the story. But I don't think that's my like official rating, but
it could be. I think if I was reading this month to month, all the way through 17, I can't imagine it would stay as funny. But maybe,
yeah,
you know, it's too early for that. I think it,
like, there's some laughs like in like the last issue,
yeah,
and so maybe it's just kind of throughout.
I think so.
With comedy books, it's kind of hard to just kind of always be hitting.
Yeah,
you know,
there's only like a few books I can even think of that
because like
can do that.
Some issues have to like set up jokes in the next one. You know?
I would say I give this like a sundae that's like a little bit too sugary, maybe.
Okay.
Like I started, I'm like, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot in there.
Yeah.
To actually like consume it all. But it's a beautiful looking sundae.
I give it like a dipped cone. You know, like love the idea of it. You know, the beginning is probably the best part with all like the chocolate like shell part.
Yeah.
a little bit more messier than you remember. Mm-hmm. You know,
like the chips overall
enjoyable,
off.
But you know, I guess the better parts was the beginning.
Yeah, so. I feel that. But I liked it. It's a good recommendation because
yeah, definitely.
We don't see a lot of this for.
This is like not on my radar at all.
Yeah, I didn't even know this really existed, and I love Steve Lieber.
It's cool because like it seems like a small book, but it's like a creative team we know well. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is like before they're more established.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I think I like just the. Like a series about C-list characters just kind of doing their thing.
Yeah, it's strange that it like was even like made, you know?
Yeah.
And it's cool to have like kind of a spin-off book from something as popular as like Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, I guess someone had an idea. But I think something that is similar to this that we really enjoyed is like Minor Threats as well. It's kind of like that, even though it's all creator-owned stuff.
Yeah.
They're kind of just like villains that are down on their luck.
Mm.
And then also like One Star Squadron, but it's more so heroes.
I'm a sucker for those.
Yeah. So pretty fun.
League of Comic Geeks rating. What do you think?
Four is for sure.
For this trade. So what we read.
4.2?
You got a 4.4.
Oh, okay. People like it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well regarded.
So, that's high.
That is high.
Yeah.
I think it like deserves that.
Yeah, I think that it's earned that. Because if you
pick this up randomly.
It's good.
You'd be so stoked on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You know? Like, this is funny.
Yeah.
A little silly series. I mean, that's what comics are for, man. Just have like a little silly thing about some
little silly. Let's get into the pull list, Colin.
Shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you get, Nathan?
Only two books. This week, Absolute Batman 23 and Green Lantern Corps 19, I believe. And what'd you get, Daniel?
I got Hello Kitty, Nathan.
Hello Kitty, Hello World.
Hello World.
And it's...
by Mariko Tamaki.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it came in like a bag.
Yeah. You didn't want the foil version, which was $13 for some reason.
Maybe it was like a ratio variant or something. Yeah,
I think it might have been.
What did it look like? Was it like just that with a foil?
No, it was like a big Hello Kitty, I guess.
Yeah. A part of me was like, I'm not getting anything, but I should get something, you know? And yeah. Then I remember this coming out, or like the news on this. I think this might be like the first like American Hello Kitty book, because there's been like mangas.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that you're not, like, curious, you know?
I'm a little curious, I guess.
Cody Lemieux?
Is that the artist?
Art and colors? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the foil variant?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that she's drawing her own comics. I kind of wish there was just, like, some big comics artist that... Oh, wait, there's a Patrick Horvath variant.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah, they should have got all the hitters. That's cool.
Couldn't even tell.
Yeah.
Because like,
I mean, when, I think most artists, if they were to draw, you couldn't really tell.
When it's like a brand like that, you have to be like so like specific about how you draw.
Like
things.
They're not getting Frank Quitely to to do like a Hello Kitty cover.
Oh man, I'd buy it though.
I would buy it too. It would get me.
Mirka Andolfo.
Yeah, she's a good pick for that.
Yeah.
But I think like most artists, like I wouldn't be able to clock any of them.
Ian Bertram variant.
Yes, please.
What did you read?
I read Fort Psycho number one, which is the comic in a can, but the first issue came out last week, I believe.
So it's not the comic in a can. It's the sequel to the comic in the can?
It's the full version of the comic that was in the can. And it makes way more sense. The comic in the can was kind of the middle of this issue, I think.
Oh, so it wasn't even really like a zero. It was like an ash can.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ash can in the can.
God damn it, Matt Kent.
Really, that makes more sense.
It does make way more sense.
But like, I don't think that'd sell quite as well as just like the very marketable comic in a can. You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if they sold all of those, because there's a lot on Sunday when we were there.
I don't think people knew what it was.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was
because when we asked about it, they seemed excited to tell us about it, which means that they haven't been like beaten down with people trying to get the comic in a can.
Yeah, they're like, all right,
yeah, all right, let me talk to you about it. But no, they were like, oh, someone knows ball.
Luckily, like everything that I wanted was like
was there,
well in stock, and just like I just happened to know because it was like following everything.
Yeah,
know? But how it made more sense.
Made way more sense.
Good book.
I don't think I'll get the next one.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm interested in... I'm a little confused by the premise a little bit.
Isn't it like bad people on the island or something?
It's bad people on an island, but some of them are like people that were basically like Navy SEALs hired by the government to take down the bad people, but then they killed people in the process by accident, and so they were also thrown on the bad person island.
So it's like a prison.
No, it's like a resort.
But like the idea is, but like they can't leave because they can't leave. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like that, but they also have things injected in their necks, kind of like Suicide Squad, and they have to like take a pill every day so that they don't like leave or like try to find some way to retaliate. And I'm like, why not just kill them?
So does the pill like make them obedient?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm like, why are they doing that? Like, if they don't want them to fuck around, just kill them. Like, don't give them the antidote, I guess. So I don't really know why they're keeping them there. They don't need any information necessarily out of them.
Uh-huh.
But they do need information out of one person that's there, and that's why they send somebody there as like a mole, and that's who we follow in the story.
I guess the whole thing could be a setup to get information from this one guy.
It could be, but yeah. It's just like a little bit weird, so I just won't get it.
Is there a Matt Kent book that you're like, good fucking book?
I liked Department H.
Okay.
That's the early stuff from him. I do like Berserker, and then I know there's another example, I just can't think of what it was. But I remember thinking like, Matt Kent, I'll look out for his stuff.
Yeah.
But Department H, I think, is like a interesting one. And then I know he has like Mind Management, and I've never read that, but I hear good things about it. Yeah, Mind MGMT.
I think the sequel is coming out right now.
Yeah.
I think he co-wrote Cosmic Detective with Jeff Lemire.
Yeah.
That's one good. I think he did some other Black Hammer stuff too. Like a
that sounds right.
Visions or something.
Oh, let me just Google his name, make sure I'm not missing an obvious one. No, that sounds about right. I think Mind Management is his like biggest thing though. And you know, I have Department H, so I should have brought that.
To what? Oh, to Comic Con?
To Comic Con. Because I just bought Berserker.
Yeah, I mean I didn't know that.
I just forgot I had it in general, but I just remembered that right now.
There's something else. Like, I forgot I had, like, Amazing Spider-Man that I could have got, like, Ryan Otley to sign, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was trying to just do, like, one for each person that I was trying to get signed.
Because you were trying to get a lot of things signed.
And I only had so much space and so much stuff I was willing to carry, but...
I also read Chachu.
Yeah.
The Iman Vellani book.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of style in that, I think.
Yeah.
Both from really the artists. Cool artist. Yeah, really cool artist, and I think that she writes comics well.
Nice.
So it's cool. So very well made. I don't know if the story is what is one that's going to interest me. I might give it another issue if it's like a light week, but if not, I'll probably drop it. But it's kind of like a... Did you read it?
No, I don't have it.
It's kind of like a Manhunt type story, but they're trying to like find an actor that went rogue and is just like hiding in Vegas who might be in trouble. So I don't know if I'll get the next one, but I do like that there's... like Pakistani representation, like a Pakistani book in like mainstream retailers. So that's pretty cool. And I'm glad that she was very serious about like making it at least a pretty fun book in general and uses the medium well. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And I read Invincible 56 through 59, but there's an Astounding Wolfman book in there in the middle.
Like a crossover or like an issue?
It's an issue of Wolfman that's Invincible heavy. It was like, I think it was issue 11 of the series that we read.
Mm.
And so, yeah, big Wolfman subplot. It seems like it picks up fairly soon after the trade that we read because he finds his wife dead.
Yeah, okay.
And the daughter sees that happen. So, like, I'm just reading this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this. So, if we had, like, almost prepared for it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, because I have no idea what
I'm setting you up for success.
I mean, you could have read it without knowing all that, but I'm like, oh, he's trying to find the vampire dude or whatever that was helping him out.
Mm-hmm.
But that issue was drawn by Jason Howard, which is cool. So, there's just a Jason Howard book in the middle of that.
Nice.
But in Invincible, I'm starting to get some stuff that's not in the show because Amber gets like a black eye from the person that she's is dating after Mark.
Invisible. Yeah.
And then he gets like super angry and dangles him off like a building.
Mm. Yeah. Some of that like kind of B plot stuff.
Yeah.
Where a lot of that.
Where it's just like oh, I'm angry and I'm invisible and I have powers, but I shouldn't be angry. It's like that stuff. And then Powerplex. I just read the Powerplex issue.
Right.
So I'm getting there.
Yeah.
It's good. What'd you read?
Not halfway through or anything, but you're getting there.
No, I'm not.
I read... Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, nice.
This is... I read, like, that's volume thick. Four. This is, like, got three and four. So this is, like, the deluxe thing that I have.
Oh, okay.
And so I just read, like, the second half of this.
That's cool.
Yeah, that volume's called Scott Pilgrim Gets It Together. So I just got like one more.
Nice.
Then I'm good. And then I read She-Hulk 9, 10, and 11. That's pretty good. There's like two artists on it. And these issues have been like the artists that I like enjoy more.
Mm.
And so it tends to not make it flow better, but I just kind of just like it more. There's a little one panel gag where they're at like her legal office or whatever. And it's like Howard the Duck. And he's like suing George Lucas.
Because
he was promised a trilogy for his movie.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really funny.
That's a good one.
But yeah, like I think like it was like 10 or something where it was like almost like a Titania origin, which. I, you know, wasn't like excited like going into it, but it made me like kind of like Titania because
she's cool. Yeah,
yeah. She was like always kind of like a smaller like girl. She was always like shorter than everybody and was bullied a lot. And she like idolized superheroes and stuff because they're like strong. And she like gets like some powers or whatever, but then like going up against like She-Hulk, she's like still. Like basically kind of being bullied by She-Hulk in a way because like even though she has power, she's like still doesn't have enough power.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I thought that's pretty interesting. And yeah, it's pretty good. Then I read ROM number 1 and 2.
Ooh. Of the Romanibus?
Of the Romanibus.
Nice.
I joined this Discord and they're having a book club right now where they're reading through the Romanibus.
Nice.
And so got to read 5 issues a week to stay caught up.
Dang.
And so,
what Discord?
It's like a Discord of the people who like buy shit on this one whatnot stream.
Mm.
And so they always have like a bunch of issues, a bunch of copies of ROM. So they have like so many to the point where they're like, we should start a book club, you know?
Oh, wow.
And so.
What a very specific issue to have.
Yeah, definitely.
We got too much ROM.
And not enough ROM. And so, yeah. Did you watch anything?
Yes. I watched the first episode of Fargo.
Like season one?
Yeah.
Whoa. What do you think?
It's good.
That's the Billy Bob season? Billy Bob Thornton?
Sorry, Narcos.
Narcos?
Narcos.
Oh my God. Why would you fuck with me like that?
Sorry.
Did you watch the movie Fargo?
No.
Oh God! All right, I haven't watched.
I mix those up in my head.
I haven't watched Narcos.
Is what I saw.
That's cool. Did you not like it enough to watch the second episode?
No, we just haven't gone there yet.
Hmm.
But I think we were just kind of in the show hole right now, and I just agreed to watch Inuyasha.
Wow! But you need one for you.
Yeah, but I need a long one too.
I've been meaning to watch that Narcos.
Yeah,
because like I feel like it was happening, and I like. Saw the memes and stuff, but I like never just watched it, you know. That's like
it's cool.
That's like the first Pedro Pascal thing I remember seeing.
I think his first thing was Game of Thrones, wasn't it?
That I saw, I guess.
Oh yeah. I think that like I think he got this after Game of Thrones, I want to say.
Probably.
He's good in it. But the first episode itself is like really good because it kind of catches you up on how cocaine started is really interesting, actually.
I've always been interested.
And I'm like, wow, it seems so easy and awesome to have cocaine.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I'll probably keep with that. What'd you watch?
I just watched a movie called Fantastic Planet. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm, no.
It's on HBO Max. And it's been on there for a long time. But it's like this French animated movie from like 73, I think. And it's kind of bizarre. And it's like about these like aliens or whatever. And they have like humans as like pets or whatever.
Okay.
And the aliens are like pretty aware that like humans can be smart if they're like taught enough.
Yeah.
I guess. And they can multiply pretty quickly. And I think it's probably just like some allegory for like war or something, like probably like an anti-war movie in a way.
Mm.
But it's like a really quick watch. It's like less than 80 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And so it's pretty quick. It's kind of weird because the animation is like old, you can kind of see like where like corners kind of had to be cut, because a lot of the frames will just be like artwork.
I've seen.
And then they'll just be kind of the camera will be panning over the artwork. Like no one's like moving in it.
Yeah. You know?
It's really trippy. Well, it's not really that trippy, but there's like some weird stuff there.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy looking.
Every frame, I'm like, oh, that's weird. You're just kind of like constantly being shown like more of this world, you know? I don't really recommend.
I've seen clips
watching
of
it
this.
High, but watching it sober doesn't seem that great either. But yeah, I think I just wanted to watch something quick, and then I was already baked, so it's like that's kind of how I picked it.
This'll do.
Yeah, it's like because it's like on this alien planet or whatever. There's a lot of it's like dialogue as if. Like a human's not watching it, like they don't explain a lot, you know, but you can kind of get the gist of the plot, you know, based off like what you're seeing and like some of the words that they're saying.
Are they speaking English?
It's in French, but the subtitles, like,
they're
speaking but human language. There's like made up words, and I'm like, I don't know what that word means, you know, and there's like not a lot of context for a lot of stuff, but you like know what is happening.
You get the idea.
And yeah, it was okay. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but. I guess if you watch something super weird.
Seems unique.
Yeah.
I also played Elden Ring Nightreign, which is
what is that? Is that another DLC?
No, it's like its own like game, but it's a new genre kind of. So it's not like a story game or anything. It's kind of like, do you know what roguelite is? Roguelike?
No.
There's roguelite and roguelike, and I don't know the difference. But you have like a run and you try to beat like a final boss. But in like the beginning, you are dropped down in a map and you have to try and like collect stuff and get ready to fight like a boss for like the first day. And then after you beat that, you have to basically do the same thing and fight a boss on the second day. And then you get like this final like big boss that you have to try and beat. And throughout the course of the 2 days where you're collecting stuff and trying not to die, you like become stronger to eventually fight this final boss. And when you do, then you can unlock the next one. So it's kind of like 25 minutes in total if you win, but everything on the map is like kind of randomized, so you have to find the good stuff that would work well against the boss in the end. And it's multiplayer, so I've been playing it with Parker and Emily.
So if you die, do you have to like restart
and
collect the shit?
Yep, you restart kind of the whole run.
Sounds awful. So is it like a separate game that you download?
Yeah.
Okay.
When it was announced, people thought it was like a sequel to Elden Ring. But then it's pretty clear that's a roguelike, which is it's like a pretty common.
So it's kind of like a mini game of Elden Ring?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to phrase it.
Okay.
Because it's not super like deep or anything as far as story or lore or anything.
Long?
Is it long?
Like, is there a lot?
There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Well, there's.
Like, how many bosses are there, do you know?
So we took a really long. There's like a tutorial boss.
Mm-hmm.
That was really hard for us because we didn't understand how the game worked necessarily.
Okay.
Because it'll tell you what the boss is like weak to. It'll be weak to like fire damage or like poison damage or something like that. We didn't realize that. We were just kind of picking up whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like big swords. Let me get the big swords. And Emily likes the archery, so she doesn't have to try and figure out how to dodge things.
Yeah.
And so we were just doing that. But then we found out the mechanics of the game. So once you beat him, then there's like 9 total bosses that are like really hard and they have their own unique like fighting styles and stuff.
So is it kind of like scratching like the Elden Ring itch?
You know, I beat the DLC and then I was like done and I've been playing Spider-Man. I've been having fun. And then I saw an edit of Elden Ring on TikTok. And it was awesome because it had like this hardcore song from a band I haven't heard of called Fox Lake.
Oh, Fox Lake's awesome.
Dude, there's like such a sick Elden Ring edit of Fox Lake. And I was like, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It's fucking heavy. I wouldn't think that there would be like an edit.
Dude, I'll have to show you. It's awesome. And so I'm like, but we've played Elden Ring Night Rain before for like an hour. And we're like, this is kind of weird. Mm. And we didn't really get it. And we didn't have the mental capacity to put it in at the time. But I forced them to play because I was like, we were looking for a game anyway, and I wanted to scratch the itch. And it has been so far, but who knows if it'll stay for forever. But I like the concept of the game because it's kind of just like Balatro, but Elden Ring is the idea. Like you start fresh every time you jump into the map, and you hope that you have like good luck with some of the weapons that they give you and the power-ups.
I forgot to mention on ROM, in the second issue, like a dog dies.
What?
Yeah, I'm like, oh no.
Second issue?
It's already a bad book.
Is he not in space? Is he a space knight?
No, he comes to Earth.
Oh, fuck, and he kills a dog?
Yeah.
ROM does?
No.
Oh, okay.
But like because someone he's does. There, people are like attacking ROM because the humans think he's like a threat.
Mm.
And a dog gets caught in a crossfire because bullets bounce off of ROM, you
oh,
know?
No.
So that was, it wasn't like that sad, but yeah, it's like surprisingly like, good. I don't know if it's because I'm like interested in it that like it is flowing well, but yeah, it's not like quite as dense as I like would expect it to be. Because
I
expect like,
it to be dense and hard to get through.
I think it's from like 77.
Oh wow!
So or maybe 79. But yeah, it's like
just got overshadowed by Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess. One of the older books I've read.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
No idea.
That's correct. So, we got 2 weeks open, and we got Wolverine.
Let's go.
And then we got another week open.
Wolverine comes out that soon?
Yeah, the September 15th.
Oh, wow.
So, Wolverine, I mean, we could do, like, a theme month with just three.
That's not a month.
Yeah, it isn't a month. I was thinking, Wolverine's a video game. We could do video game month.
Mm.
And there are some video game comics that I had on my list that are like 80 pages.
Sure.
So we could do like two.
Mm. Yeah, we could do two
but
for one episode maybe.
Yeah, or I'd probably make it two episodes.
Or we could just
just have them come out the same day.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay.
We just do a couple video game ones.
So let's figure out what we want to do. So
you are obviously going to want to do.
Obviously?
You obviously have Rogue Troopers on there.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was a comic first.
That was a comic first, yeah.
I'm thinking game first.
Game first in the comic, okay.
So I know you want to do like Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk.
You want to do Borderlands?
No, I was thinking of Cyberpunk and then I said Borderlands. Okay. But I want to do Cyberpunk.
You want to start with Borderlands? Or start with Cyberpunk?
You know, that is Bugs Bunny. You
rabbit season.
Yeah, I do.
So Cyberpunk, we'll do that first. The second one, I want to do that Batman Fortnite one.
Oh my god, with FaZe Clan in it.
I don't know what's in it.
That's yeah. Okay, I'm down for that.
Okay, and then for like the little ones, I really want to do Plants vs Zombies.
Okay.
It's a mobile game.
That's
an 80-page one.
Someone would argue most gaming is mobile gaming. So, yeah, we should probably do a mobile game.
Okay. And then another 80-pager is Minecraft.
Oh, wow.
So, I thought that'd be interesting to do. Or...
Oh, wait, Plants vs. Zombies is 80?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we could do that with Minecraft.
Or if you didn't want to do two, we could do, like, another game that's...
No, we could do two.
Okay.
But in the title, we put Minecraft first because I think that'll get more attention.
Yeah, I'll do like separate episodes and just do Minecraft and Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sure.
Okay, so which Cyberpunk one? Because okay. There's a shit ton, actually.
There are a few, and I have to...
Wasn't there a specific one you wanted to do?
There was, and I got to figure out what it was again.
Ooh. like Colin Bunn did one that is pretty good, but
fuck, I gotta find it. I have it written down somewhere.
Is it Trauma Team?
I don't think it was, but it could be. I gotta look at the pages of it, unfortunately. Hold on.
You gotta look at the pages?
Yeah, because I remember what, like, the... Maybe I wrote it down.
Where did you see this to made you want to...
I flipped through, like, one of the trades, and I was like, this is cool looking. And then okay. I thought I wrote it down, but let me see. Cyberpunk, Chrome, or Big City Dreams? And they might not have...
Big City Dreams is 64 pages. I think it's just one issue.
Okay. Cyberpunk Chrome, maybe?
So I guess we could do that if you wanted.
Is Chrome collected?
Chrome.
Doug Wagner?
Yeah. That's four issues. Oh, Doug Wagner Rises? That's awesome.
Is that collected in a volume?
Oh, it's not out yet.
The collection isn't?
No, it comes out in November.
Damn. Okay, we could do the Trauma Team, I think, maybe.
Okay. Let's make sure we can get it easily.
Yeah.
Is it on Hoopla?
Yes, I think so. Yep, Trauma Team.
Okay. Sick. Sounds good. 97 pages. I like
that's
it.
That's easy. We like that.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited to do another theme month.
Yeah, we love a
theme. Right before our other theme month. I'm be fucking sick of it probably. But
yeah. No, we like a theme.
We got like two before Halloween. Mm-hmm. But all right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You could like, comment, subscribe to all our stuff. Email in at tradewarspod@gmail.com. Tell us what video game comics you think we should do.
Yeah. What are the big ones? There's probably some obvious ones. But
yeah, let us know. I looked pretty deep, but
we've already done Sonic. Don't even ask.
Yeah. We've probably done another one without ever forgetting about it.
Mm-hmm. But let us know.
Let us know, and goodbye.
Bye.